Cradio, nourishing the soul of the digital generation.
Hi, I'm Sarah and you're listening to Cradio. Today I'm joined by Paul Ninnis, who is Managing Director of Real Talk Australia, a Brisbane-based organisation working to help young people come to appreciate the church's teachings on relationships, sexuality and personal identity. Thanks for joining me today, Paul.
No worries. It's great to be here, Sarah.
First of all, could you tell me a bit about your background and what's inspired you to do the sort of work that you're doing?
Yeah, my background is one of, growing up as a bit of a cradle Catholic who had the opportunity to receive all the sacraments and came from a great, solid family. But my background is typical of many teenagers. Went through the teenage years and had a lot of struggles, I suppose you'd say, and still stayed connected to God and stayed connected to the church, but definitely drifted in many areas of my life. And one of the areas for me personally was this whole topic of relationships and sex and what have you. And so for me, my own personal journey is very much what led me to what I'm doing now and the work I'm doing in the church. And so for me, I had different experiences, but particularly the one that stands out the most is an experience that really was a transformational experience in my life. And centered around this topic and the choices I've been making in my life. And from there, went on a real journey of discovering what God says about relationships and sex and what the church said, and discovered things like Theology of the Body by Blessed JP II. And, yeah, for me, that was a point in my life that was huge and transformational in the direction I was going, and transformational just in who I am today. The whole topic was a bit of a hinge topic for me in my relationship with God. And so I saw as I came through the other side of that and saw the great fruit in my life and the beauty and richness that came to my life in understanding who I was and who I was in Christ and what the gift of sex and relationships was all about, in discovering that, I think I really developed a longing for other young people to discover that as well, and that would be the key driver behind what we do today.
So you mentioned Theology of the Body was a big factor for you, and I know I hear it in so many people's experiences that when they first discover Theology of the Body, it's like, wow, you know. What do you think it is about Theology of the Body that is speaking to this generation so powerfully?
I think in today's society, we have obviously a sex-saturated society, and so we're exposed to so much around the topic of sex, love, lust, relationships in the media and in our own lives, that it's something that leaves so many of us wounded and also leaves many of us unsatisfied, I suppose. And these are the words I would use now, reflecting on it. A lot of people going through stuff wouldn't use these words themselves, but I think when people discover Theology of the Body, they discover, I suppose, the background to what the church says, you know, this great anthropology, this great bedrock of some of the church's teachings that otherwise might have seemed really disjointed or different to certainly the lives that many young people are living. So when someone discovers Theology of the Body, if they're able to get their head around it even a little bit, they're able to make sense of perhaps their own experiences, to make sense of their own feelings, and to tap into a little bit of what they were created for. It can be this, for me, it was a bit of a, you know, this light going on. It probably wasn't like turning on a light switch. It didn't come on straight away, but little by little, it sort of illuminated this whole idea of who I was meant to be and how I was created as a gift for someone else, a gift for God, and how relationships are something that is the image of God, and how our lives are meant to be that, are meant to shine God in that way, in how we live out our relationships on earth. And so for me, it started to go, wow, I get that. Like, I get that at the core of my being. Like, I feel that in my body. Like, I feel that from my pain, from my wounds that I was created for more. But I also see it in my hopes and dreams. I identify it because that's what I long for. And so it's this kind of moment of going, wow, this church that teaches this stuff that I might have struggled with, has got this wisdom and knows the deep core of my being in a way that I don't even know myself. And so, or a way I didn't know myself. Yeah, I think that's why many young people are captivated by it, is because it's written into them. It's written into their DNA. It's written into their longings, and it's often written into their stories, into the pain and the hurt they've felt from broken relationships and sort of empty promises in the area of relationships and sex. That's certainly when we give talks, I love seeing people's faces, but one of the sad things is you see people's faces that show the hurt around this topic, and in some ways that's the touch point for many people, is they get the truth of it because they get the pain of it. They get how deeply affected their lives have been by relationships and I suppose not living out chaste lives. So, yeah.
So you've been spending a fair bit of time going into schools. When you find yourself in front of these people, what is your core message?
Probably our core message boils down to something that isn't explicitly about sex, but is more about who they are. And look, our core message would be one that people know their dignity, that people know their value, and people know their worth. Because we always say to groups, if you get how much you're worth, if you get the dignity you have as a human person, then all other choices and all other, I suppose, teachings flow from this in the area of relationships. And so if we can get young people to understand that, then their whole knowledge of relationships and sex can flow from that. So we talk, obviously, a lot about relationships and the topic of sexual intimacy and marriage and things like that. But I think the core of it is that we want our young people that we speak to get just how much they are worth. Get how much they are valued and how much of God's image they are, because, yeah, that's sort of key. Once they have that, then the rest becomes much easier. Yeah.
High schools seem like quite a battleground. I've heard that kids are being exposed to porn now as young as 11, and I don't know if you've caught this documentary that's come out in the UK, and this man talks about his experience of going into schools and just observing and talking to the young people and seeing how, from 13 years of age, how infiltrated their thinking on relationships has been by pornography. Is this something that you've experienced going into schools?
Yeah, definitely. Just as you're speaking, a memory popped into my brain of speaking at a local Brisbane school. Most of our speaking is around the country these days, but we're at this local Brisbane school, and we spoke to quite a young group. I think it might have been a broad group, maybe year 8 to year 10, something like that. And I was just waiting at morning tea, and this young guy comes up to me, and he said, "That stuff you were saying before about pornography, it was pretty weird." And I said, "Yeah, look, it's a full-on topic. It's a hard topic, and it's hard to get our head around." He said, "Yeah, I don't quite get it," but he said, I do get what you mean about things staying with you." And he went on to explain how he didn't have a problem with looking at porn, but he could identify how his thinking was changing having seen what he'd seen. And he even said, this is grade 8, so we're talking about 13, he said, "You know, there's things I've seen no one should see, and I can't get them out of my brain now. And whilst I don't think it's a problem, I can see what you mean, that this affects people's lives, because I can't get those things out of my head now." And so, for me, that typifies, I think, a bit of a sad story of Australian young men and exposure to porn. And yet at 13, the majority of the boys at 13 would have been exposed to pretty hardcore porn. And so, you know, I think we're pretty naive if we think this isn't going to be shaping people. And I think even those who are on the other side of the porn debate would still concede and admit that pornography definitely shapes people and stays with people and influences their perceptions around the topic of sex. And that's certainly what I see in young guys. But it's also a lie that doesn't take a lot to unravel. It's pretty easy to expose porn for what it is. And again, if people have had exposure to porn themselves, they get that in their own lives. Like, most guys know that they can recall things and know that they have been affected by what they have seen. And so it's not hard to actually plant that seed and say, "Hey, is this good for you, do you think, or is this good for your future relationships?" Most guys jump onto the reasoning behind why porn is a problem pretty quickly.
Like you were saying, it's a pretty sad situation when you step back and look at it, and it can seem a little bit hopeless when you think about how much time we're exposed to media, which all seems to be going in one direction, seems to be working against us. And you might get these kids for a day, you might get them for an hour, but is the message cutting through, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, it's definitely an uphill battle when we look at the media, as you said. I gave a talk on the weekend, which sort of looked a little bit at media, and I used the saying that television can tell a vision. And I think that's one of the opportunities for positive Christian media, like what you're involved in, is that television and media has an opportunity to share a vision, a positive vision. But the truth is, the majority of the vision that people are capturing is not a positive one. But it's often subtle. It's often a hidden thing. Some people would argue that media or television is a reflector of society, but I would say it's a director of society. It's definitely something that subtly and coercively can take us in a direction. And so, yeah, people have been taken in a direction, exposed to things that quite often, 20 years ago would have been considered, you know, hardcore material we're often copying on TV and what have you these days. So it's definitely an uphill battle, but having said that, I think, we're in this because we see the fruits of it and we see how transformational it can be. You know, one presentation, you might go, well, 1 hour, you know, it's a drop in the ocean compared to the ocean of negative messages young people can be receiving. But, you know, it doesn't take much light to transform the darkness, you know. Just a little bit can make a big difference. And the classic story that I often go to is that my wife, when she shares her testimony, her story, she, in grade 10, went to a religious camp or a religious retreat and heard someone get up the front and give a chastity talk, basically talk about saving sex for marriage and the value of it. It was a married couple. And at that point in her life, she was, like many other year 10 girls, starting on that path. You know, most of her friends had sexual experiences of some kind. Her herself was starting to go down that path with school socials and physical interaction and what have you. But that day, in that 1 hour talk, she heard something that she wanted, that she identified was what she was created for, and she actually made a commitment that very day to save herself for marriage. And she went out and she bought a purity ring or a true love weights ring and wore that on her finger, and she was wearing that when I met her, and she wore it through our dating years, and basically she was a virgin when she got married. And so there's a classic example of someone who, in 1 hour, had their entire life transformed by the power of this message. And it was just purely that she went, this is whacked out. I can't believe these people are speaking about this. But I see what is true about that, and fell in love with the truth of that. And so, you know, what drives us is that we have those encounters every week. We have those encounters and those stories from young people who go, I needed to hear this, and you have inspired me. I'm questioning the relationship I'm in. I'm questioning the choices I've made, or particularly with young people, they might come out and set new goals about how they're going to live their lives and the standards they want for themselves. Because, as I was saying, people get that this is the truth. I don't care what you believe. And we speak to people of many different faiths and many inactive or non-practicing Catholics and Christians. But when people hear this message, it just resonates with them so deeply that it is this light bulb moment. And so they can't deny that. We can't deny our innermost call, our innermost creation, you know. So, yeah.
Oh, well, obviously, there is a lot of work to be done, a lot of worthwhile work. What would you say can be done, whether it be on a personal level with those young people that we know, or on a broader level? What do you think needs to be done to contribute to this battle?
I think on a broader level, firstly, is we need to be agents of culture change ourselves. And so, you know, this can happen in our own lives, our families, our own communities, but, you know, the country and what have you. There's a quote that says, as the family goes, so goes the nation, and so goes the whole world. And I certainly think that kind of tracks the development of many of these themes. And we can influence our families, we can influence our friends, we can influence our schools, we can influence society. And so on a broader level, we just need to be out there being these agents of culture change, being this light of Christ that people see and want more of than these other things that they have in their lives. You know, subtle things, but small things. I encourage people to be active, to go up to managers in shops and say, hey, I'm offended by what you have on your shelf. I'm offended by what you have printed on that T-shirt. It doesn't take much. It's just a few people doing a few things can make big differences, and I've seen that. You know, a local service station near where I am had a couple of young guys go in and make some complaints, and they no longer stock pornographic material on their shelves. And so it can make a difference. But culture change just in our own attitudes, our conversations with people around the tea room, around our schoolyards, just planting those small seeds. It doesn't have to be this head on the chopping block moment where we say, hey, this is what I believe, and maybe sever friendships because we're so full on, but leading with love and planting the seed and saying, you know what, I believe in something different to that, or I believe that there's so much more for relationships than maybe what you're experiencing right now. So I think on a broader level, I think we need to be out there in the mix of culture. We need to be out there speaking to people, doing things, you know, writing letters to television stations, to politicians, all those sorts of things. But changing the culture in our heart with what we watch, with TV, again, using media in a positive way, exactly what Cradio is doing. You know, we've got a YouTube channel, and we put this clip on. It's one of the first clips we did, this little 3-minute clip of me on my wedding day, just sharing about, you know, the blessing and the graces of getting married, and you know, the gift of chastity, and we put that on YouTube. We titled it provocatively a little bit, Why Wait for Sex? And inside the first week, we thought we might get like 100 views, and we got 5,000 hits in the first week. And so there's things like that that can actually really impact society. We need to use media in a better way. I think I've gone on my high horse a little bit and gone for a bit of a rant, but look, I think on a personal level, we need to be aware that we're being fed some stuff that isn't good for us, and question that. And again, in our school presentations, we talk about critical thinking, and we might show some clips from the media, and just most people can identify that very quickly, that we've been sold something that isn't true in the media. And so being critical of what we're exposing ourselves to, but also filling ourselves with positive material. I say to people, look, I don't want to ever go a month in my life without reading something to do with theology of the body or something to do with God's plan for sex and relationships, because I'm exposed to so much that is arguing the opposite in my life. Even if I don't watch TV, just by driving my car down the highway, I'm exposed to so many arguments for a different way of living that I need in my own life, in my own heart, in my own mind. I need to feed myself good messages, good scriptures, good teaching to basically combat everything else I'm hearing, and to give me a fighting chance. And so for people in this world, in this battle, so to speak, we just need to constantly feed ourselves good stuff to give ourselves a fighting chance, I think, to hear the truth and to have that light shine in the world. Yeah.
Thanks so much for your thoughts on that, and thanks for your work at Real Talk. I was watching your YouTube channel, and I did watch the videos from your wedding day. Yeah, it's a powerful testimony from a groom right before his wedding. So thank you.
Cheers, thank you.
What's on the cards for Real Talk?
Yeah, look, we're pretty new on the national landscape in Australia, and we only promoted for the first time ever in 2012, and so since that time we've had an amazing response. I've been in 15 dioceses in this country and spoken over 10,000 young people, and so we're excited. We've got a growing team and a growing bank of resources and what have you. We're excited about the future. We're not sure exactly where it's going. We've got some plans, but we want to constantly, you know, submit to the Lord and see where the Lord is taking us. And so we hope to reach many more students within the Catholic school system and to go wider than that within the parishes and other schools. And we're about to go to a couple of dioceses this month over New Zealand. So, you know, who knows? The sky's the limit. We sort of went out there. There's a couple of good organisations around Australia doing work in this area, but there's just not enough. And there's I did the maths and realised that most students were getting next to no formation from living witnesses of this message in the school system. And so That was one of my motivating factors for jumping in a full-time way a couple of years ago. So as far as the future goes, who knows? We've got different things that are new and exciting. We're doing, particularly my offsider Kim is really passionate about family development and what have you, and so she's doing a more work than me in the area of educating parents. So we do parent seminars. We've just started an event in Brisbane that is probably going to be in a monthly event to support young Catholic singles and dating couples. So, we saw that as a real need, that people were lacking formation and support and mentoring in that area, and it's an area that I sort of struggled through myself. And so we've started that event, there's already been calls for that to start to spread around the country, so perhaps that event might spread. But apart from that, I suppose, the rest is up to God, I suppose. We're just holding on at the moment and seeing this thing explode, obviously because there's a great need and because, the Lord is behind it. So please pray for our ministry, Real Talk Australia. Check out our website and, hopefully we'll encounter more and more people around the country who are thirsty for this message and more opportunities to share this awesome message that God has.
Well, we'll definitely keep you in our prayers. And for those who are interested, Real Talk's website is www.realtalkaustralia.com, and there are links to their YouTube channel and Twitter and Facebook. So thank you once again, Paul.
No worries. Thank you, Sarah. Have a great day. God bless.
That was Paul Ninnis from Real Talk Australia on sharing the message of God's plan for love and life with young people. For more talks, interviews and shows, head to cradio.org.au. Cradio.org.au.